Welcome to Fast Break Breakfast. It is a more temperate yet still cold day in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm Keith here, as always, with John and Chuck. Fellas, how you doing?
Morning, everyone.
I'm about it.
John Burr here with the, I had like a really weird like a bottled superfood juice drink.
Oh, like acai berry? Yeah. One of those? Or
acai?
Am I saying that right?
Acai berry? And apparently it's supposed to help me with my bowels.
Good.
But it's not
you'll try anything.
That's
I've
right.
heard. Yeah. You're on desperate measures.
My diet's
scowling
not...
WebMD for any clues.
WebMD always tells me that I have full-blown AIDS. you can put any ailment in there, and
So you had some special superfood smoothie drink.
Yeah, my old lady started buying them for me in an effort to keep me alive. She like she's the type who when a heart attack medicine? Lipitor. She cries when she sees Lipitor commercials.
Yeah,
because she thinks about me.
that's true love. Chuck, did you eat breakfast?
Yeah, I found this recipe for scrambled eggs, and I've been making them pretty much that way my whole life. So,
oh
yeah, well not my whole life.
So for the past 18 months. I was like, you found it when you were a child.
Yeah, the past 18 months of my
nice.
Life.
So just some eggs. That's good.
Yeah, yeah, really good scrambled eggs. I do. You know, I don't know if I even said. I might have said that on another episode.
I think you did because you were talking about the. I remember the amount of care that went into the preparation of the eggs.
Yeah, so I went with my.
You said creme fraiche.
Creme fraiche. Fresh. Yeah. Fresh.
That's good.
Yeah. So that was good. I had a little roasted tomato, and I grilled up a little mushroom.
I'm treating yourself.
Yeah, it was a good day.
That's good. I skipped breakfast. I didn't have time because I was too busy rewatching the Grizzlies Nets thrashing.
Classic.
On the third watch, just trying to mainly watching for Lionel Hollins' facial reactions. So yeah, a lot of joy there. Yeah, we've had an exciting week. Still more trades have gone down in the NBA. Things are happening today. We recorded this on Thursday.
Austin Rivers on
the move. Some more Shavlik Randolph getting picked up.
A family reunion.
But anyway, before we get into all that, we start every week with our thing we call the Breakfast in Bed Apologies. It's our chance to make right what we might have made wrong in previous episodes. Does anyone have an apology?
I do.
Yes, Chuck.
I'd like to, apologize to the country of Macedonia. We thought last week that Peroncik was Russian.
Right.
That's not where he is from.
Keith, we knew he was Macedonia. I just felt our geography might have been a little sketchy.
Right. Well, I just think, we were, claiming that he drank vodka and all that stuff. That
was it's just too stereotypical.
Yeah, it was just that. He looks... Yeah, we needed to take our time. So what I would like to do is
we had openings for Philip of Macedonia jokes. We did. And we totally went potato vodka.
We did. Just gross, ugly, and then I made a weak reference to syndicated, crime families and stuff like that in Russian. So I apologize to them. They're good people. Their capital is unpronounceable to the English tongue. So I'm not even going to try to give you facts about them, but they exist and they're next to Albania. So sorry to Macedonia again.
They border a handful of countries. I mean,
they're surrounded.
They're all crammed in there.
I think people know Albania. All the other ones, people really don't know.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, we're sorry. We're sorry, Macedonia, for not knowing more about you.
Philip II. That's all I got.
My apology is I'm going to apologize to the Philadelphia 6 and 76ers. We spend a lot of time ignoring them and then a lot of time belittling their rebuilding efforts. Which I'm still, it's one of those things where I don't know if this was done on purpose. They're still not good, but they're playing hard.
Yeah.
Over the last month and a half, they have a top 10 defense. They have a lot of interesting players. They got a lot of length, a lot of athleticism. And again, their offense is horrible, but they push the ball. Like they have a freedom to them. Their slowest guy is probably Michael Carter-Williams.
Yeah.
Everybody else is fun to watch. I'm kind of getting a little bit out on KJ McDaniels, even though he was real hot early and he kind of captured the zeitgeist and everyone thinking about him.
Yeah. Well, he did knock someone unconscious with a block shot, so.
Yeah. And he's on pace to be the first guard ever to average 2 blocks per 36 minutes.
Wow.
Something I thought Dwayne Wade would have done, but it turns out did not do.
No.
Robert Covington Although he's had a couple of real negative shooting nights, I'm kind of enamored with him. Like, he just seems, I don't know, he just seems like a good ball player. And of course, I can't keep my eyes off Tony Roten.
I'd love to see Covington in the 3-point contest. He's like top 15 in, you know.
Is he?
Yeah, top 15. Where am I here with him? Yeah, because I'm looking things up. He's top 15 in threes per game and 14th in accuracy. So yeah,
there's a freedom. So they're fun to watch. Good. So my apology is the Sixers. I don't know if I approved of the process that you got this team together, but you're actually kind of fun to watch, and I would rather watch you over maybe 10 other NBA teams.
Right. I'm going to apologize to the listener because they had to listen to Keith praise a team that is dead last in every power ranking and every metric. Still, 6 full points behind the Knicks in the Hollinger rankings. A truly horrible team. I feel like maybe Keith has been kidnapped. This is a form of Stockholm syndrome. Because there's nothing to like about the Sixers. It's a terrible process.
They're winning basketball games, and they win them in tight fashion.
Guys, what the saddest part about all this is, since our last recording, we had to bury the 6 and 76ers.
How are the Hollinger's power rankings, which are heavily weighted to recent games, How are the Knicks ahead of the Sixers?
That's because the Sixers are that bad.
That's madness. The Knicks haven't won a game in I don't know how long.
The Knicks are so bad.
I mean, the Wolves finally won a game because of Mo Williams. They'd lost, what, like 15 in a row?
Yeah. Getting ugly.
That's how bad the Sixers are.
Hollinger's just goofing with his stupid ratings. He doesn't even care anymore.
He doesn't care that much. He just traded for Jeff Green.
Yeah.
Whom he once besmirched.
So I guess those are our... what's your apology?
That's my apology.
Your apology is on the fly?
I apologize to our listeners, but no, because I knew you were going to do this. I saw that and I went, I know what my apology is going to be.
All right, fair enough.
Talk about
all right.
I knew you'd been watching. You've been sending me those texts.
Yeah.
Every time they win, I've updated the Chuck and John over. They're climbing in my personal enjoyment poll of teams to watch.
Well, I'm going to pull from Chuck's conspiracy theories, because when you start to like a team, it is the death knell. So somehow the Sixers will get even worse. Earlier in the year, it was the Raptors, who are now playing historically poor defense.
Well, also,
historically poor.
I will say earlier.
And last year, it was the Pistons.
No, I will say earlier this year, I got real into the Magic, and then they went in the tanker, but now maybe they're back.
Uh-oh.
Noob Saibot.
Not anymore.
That might be...
Last second shots.
That'll be a... So those are our apologies. And I'll go ahead and... merge this into the our steak and eggs best thing, the best thing we saw this week. I will say Victor Oladipo doing his best Michael Jordan, being unbelievably good.
Yeah.
And I'll kind of package that with his backcourt running mate, Alfred Payton, playing full court pressure on guys for 40 minutes a game. He doesn't even care. So
Alfred Payton has the highest assist rate of any rookie this year.
There you are.
And he also... his hair was also drawn with MS Paint. So.
he looks like a straight up Cosby kid.
He could be.
We need to get him one of those hats where you cut the eyes out.
Mush mouth.
Double.
Alfred Payton.
So I will say, if you didn't know, the Orlando Magic this week beat the Houston Rockets and beat the Chicago Bulls. And the game before that, they took the Trailblazers down to the wire in Portland. And all of it is mainly based on this backcourt. And
they also hold a win over the unbeatable Hawks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, Montenegrin, Nick Vucevic in the middle, who's been playing amazing.
These last
two games, their leading scorer, Tobias Harris, didn't even play.
Right.
And really, with no previous evidence that this could occur, Oladipo scored 32 and 33 points in back-to-back games.
Yeah.
And finished the game with a disgusting 360 dunk.
We're coming on All-Star
Weekend. Let me ice the game with a 360.
He needs a dunk contest invite.
There's a lot of guys.
He's incredible.
So I'll say that's my best thing. Then once again, the Magic are intriguing.
Yeah.
They're fun to watch, sort of.
They have good players, but Jacques Vaughn is still running the show, and he is. It's hard to watch his teams play.
I read an article about Alfred Payton and taking over the team, and how they were playing more half court style, and they were scoring at, you know, I think some like 22nd, 23rd offense in the NBA in the half court. And then the article said that then the players decided they needed to push the pace more. So I like to think this is just Alfred Payton and Oladipo being like, hey, are you noticing we're more athletic than our opponent? Mm-hmm. Why don't we just pressure them a lot and then push the ball a lot? And these last two games, they scored, I think, 120 in both the games. Yeah. Again, against the Bulls.
This is a this is a Blatt-esque usurper.
It could be. All right, so that, yeah. That's,
Alfred the Usurper.
That's a steak and eggs for me.
That's his Pope name.
Mm-hmm.
Alfred the Usurper. Usurper? Usurper.
Usurper.
I have to say the steak and eggs go to that bastion of SEC basketball, Mo Williams.
Mm-hmm. From Mobile, Alabama, I believe.
That's right. Roll damn tide. dropping like 52 points against the Pacers.
They were spectacular points, too.
Yeah,
one layup.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When that guy gets hot from three, clear the court, boys.
It was good. It's one of those where I think I tweeted out the leak pass alert when he was at 37. He still had 15 left in him.
Right.
It's like those Wolves, like Corey Brewer, when they get that 50 in sight, it's like a black hole just pulling people towards it.
Right.
This is the best of the week, but it's also kind of sad because, to me, this has, in another usurper moment, is the Tony Delt game dead now?
In what fashion?
Because that, to me, used to be the any NBA player can score a ton of points.
I mean, the Corey Brewer, just last year, I think, Terrence Ross is still one, even though he looks like he still has more potential and ways to go. He's a good player.
On their depth chart, Mo Williams is behind Zach LaVine.
But it makes
sense. He is their third point
guard.
They
couldn't shoot. You know,
he's always been a very good mid-range, like 16 to 20-foot shooter.
Right.
That's how he made the All-Star game.
Right.
Thanks, LeBron. Zach LaVine in that Pacers game, which I weirdly watched a lot of, they couldn't even keep him on the court, even though they ostensibly should be developing him because he's the young talent.
But he is terrible.
Mo Williams had it.
He is terrible.
Speaking of dunk contest, that man is only in the league to be in a dunk contest.
Indeed.
So don't make us watch him play basketball. But please put him in the dunk contest.
He needs to be running that one circuit.
Yeah. That guy can jump.
So I got one. The boy Trevor Booker, hits the no-look, behind-the-back touch shot over the head with 0.2 seconds left. Sinks it, makes it, and is immediately the internet.
Without exaggeration, the shot of the
I've never seen millennium. A better shot, more difficultly difficult and executed perfectly. Like it isn't a shot you ever take.
Something about also how like the arch of the shot was real flat, like a Tayshaun Prince jumper too.
Yeah.
like it didn't seem like it could go in, but it went right in, and everything worked out perfectly. And
that ball is wounded when Tayshaun shoots it.
Yeah.
That really was telling people, like, this is the greatest shot I've ever seen.
But if you really want to take it from there, Trevor Booker's really, he can score 10 points a second. So if you do the math, that's 60 seconds a minute, 48 minutes in a game. He can score 28,800 points in one game and beat Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's record in 2.5 quarters. So
that's Wilt Chamberlain's record, I
believe. That is.
What's his PER like now?
I think the PERs at this point, that PER would be in the triple digits.
Does it max out at 99?
I don't know.
Does it go past Gretzky?
We need to talk to
Hollinger. What is the highest PER?
Yeah. We just know that 30 something is awesome.
Right.
And late 20s is great, and mid 20s is good, and 20 is Yeah.
Sorry, you started boring me.
And then, like five is Quincy
Pondexterian.
Right.
That might take me to, you know what? It's been a big week. I feel like maybe we need seconds of steak and eggs.
I'd say so.
I think I could go back for seconds.
You want to get another serving?
I think I could go back for another serving.
Oh, man.
I don't even know. I have like several things written down, so I don't want to steal anybody's.
I'll go first if you want.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so
what's another best thing?
It was
of the
a
week?
Little bit bittersweet, but it's first
this
of
is
all
a very protein packed meal. Right?
Yeah, we're doing a lot. Yeah. We're gonna need some roughage later.
This is Orson Welles-ish.
Yeah. So this unfortunately it broke my heart, but the Spurs went to their White House visit this week.
Yeah,
and President Obama, being the man that he is, and a Chicago Bull fan. Says to the Spurs, and I quote, "If you guys need any tips on winning back-to-back, you know where to find me," end quote. Which to me is
presidential burn.
Greatest, POTUS diss ever.
wonder how much that speechwriter got for that little quip.
Oh, man. I wish I wrote that.
Well, here's the thing. Obama's never won in Texas.
No. Oh, no. He can just let that go.
I mean, like, yeah, there's just... With our electoral college, there's really no reason for Republicans and Democrats to placate most of the states of the union.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like, Democrat will not win Tennessee. Whenever, he's like, say whatever you want. No one cares.
Whenever Miami was in the championship, he was very specific about not offending anyone.
Oh, right. I mean, if Cleveland gets there, you got to win Ohio.
You got to win Ohio. Like,
people can't mess around with Ohio. Yeah.
I feel like Pop kind of let us down by chuckling at it. I was hoping you'd get him like one of those icy death talking to Craig Sager stares.
Yeah, there are pictures of Kawhi Leonard just looking into space like a robot.
That's
like,
called the Kawhi Leonard face.
Yeah. He looks like a stoned robot. But yeah.
Whenever I would watch Spurs games, and I hate the Spurs, so I invariably end up screaming, "Close your mouth, Kawhi! Close your mouth!"
He's got the John Lure, Tyler Hansbrough, open mouth disease.
And also, there's another thing, and this was on the internet. Tim Duncan doesn't wear ties ever.
Tim Duncan dresses like a ninja.
You cannot find Tim Duncan in a tie.
I didn't know
in
that.
Any photo. On the internet,
he'll button that top.
That
button.
Top button is it is not off limits.
Yeah,
it's in play. That is a fair game.
He dresses like an extra from Boomerang.
That's it.
That's good.
Yeah,
John, did you have an extra helping of steak and eggs you wanted to share?
I mean, I wasn't really ready for an extra helping of steak and eggs, but I guess I can throw in the. I think Mozgov has been replaced by Plumlee.
It could be.
Marc Gasol dunked on Miles Plumlee twice last night.
It's true.
And they were disgusting.
I will say, in Plumlee's defense, he had like five dunks in that game.
Yeah.
That man, he can make
excuses. And also in taking down Pau Gasol, who had a career night.
Well, you could say Pau Gasol is 46 and 18.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Insane. Best night of his career, I believe.
Best night of anyone's career who was 34 and older,
yeah,
I believe is the stat.
And also a good one this week is Vucimang dunking on Gasol.
The Nick Vucevic dunk on Gasol, which give that man an and one.
I know.
He doesn't draw many fouls, but that was at least a foul.
It was beautiful. Like, God, so much good stuff
so
this
much
week.
So much good stuff. I mean, my second helping of steak and eggs, I mean, boys and girls... Quincy Pondexter is not a Grizzly.
Oh, clap, clap, clap your hands.
Addition
not,
by subtraction.
I mean, not only did we upgrade and get Jeff Green, which I'm excited about, I think it's a good trade for the Grizzlies, but in our preseason podcast, I said, talking about the bench on the Grizzlies, it's like, we have some deficiencies, but I somewhat trust this front office. Every year, they've gotten rid of a player I don't like.
Right.
And I was like, I'm telling you, I'd be very surprised if Quincy Pondexter wasn't moved out.
I think
he's gone.
The greatest Grizzlies trade was for years. I thought it was going to be for years and years. The Courtney Lee trade, but this one could be better if Green turns out.
It could. I don't think though. I mean, let's not get hyperbolic. I don't think we'll ever top Jared Bayless for Courtney Lee.
Unbelievable trade.
It was a trade of the century. Mm. Joe Barry Carroll for Mikhail Antetokounmpo.
I really
that was
like
our Warriors Celtics moment.
That Jeff Green trade was really helpful for you. He's 6'9". He can. If while he gets dominated when he plays power, he's somebody that can give Tebow a breather.
Much more flexibility.
He's just flexibility. And he's a legitimate forward, and you don't have to.
And now he's the fourth rung. He's not going to be the guy that has to carry anything. And I think he's been on a team with guys who have been dominant in the locker room, and that's what he's walking into. And I think he'll fit into that role.
Before Keith force fed us bizarre 76ers stats, I was going to apologize for doubting the front office and doubting Jeff Green, because when I went back into it and looked into what we were getting, it becomes clear that the reason Jeff Green didn't thrive in the me first role is because he's not a me first player.
Yeah.
Right. So that just wasn't. Now he's going to get properly used. And in his first game, and we'll get more of this in the Grizzlies epilogue, just the way other players have to respect him made our spacing so much better than it's been in ages.
You don't want him to headline your show.
No.
But he's a very solid opener, if you're using that weird analogy.
He's DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Right. He's the guy.
He's a side man.
Yeah, he's the guy you want hanging out, but you don't want him to close it out.
Yeah, Uncle Phil's got to throw him out of the house at the end of the episode.
Of course.
He's got, you know.
He's the only guy below Jeffrey on the social ladder.
That was good. All right. So yeah, there's that was a healthy heaping of steak and eggs, best thing. So now the opposite of that.
I'm full.
Your cream of wheat. No. You have to save room for your cream
of
wheat.
I don't have room for it.
Your cream of wheat, worst of week. What's the worst thing you saw this week?
I forgot the rookie's name again, but I saw the worst flop ever. PJ Harrison.
PJ Harrison.
He got fined $5,000.
He got fined $5,000.
I think Adam Silver needs to step in and ban him from the NBA. This can be a watershed moment. This can be like Shoeless Joe or Pete Rose being banned from the Hall of Fame.
I really
ban
wish.
Ban PJ Harrison.
I really wish he wasn't. Yeah, I wish the fine was more explicitly for just being the worst flop ever.
He should be in prison.
Like, hey, if you had just flopped, you wouldn't be getting a warning or a fine. But that was so over the top. So yeah, that's a good one.
Do not pass go. Go immediately to Champions League soccer. You're a fraud.
Yeah.
That was Ronaldo-esque.
I really wish, since it was so obviously, like it wasn't even a realistic looking one, like a realistic flop. So all the refs saw that it was clearly fake. I wish they just teed him up on the spot, been like, or, you know, at least call a foul, like, been like, this is ridiculous.
Double technical, pulled his pants down.
Yeah.
Chuck, you got a worst?
Oh, Kevin Garnett. Kevin Garnett.
I loved it.
Ugh. Did you?
I love that guy.
He's
unwell.
What did Noah say once? He said that he only goes after the rookies and the Euros.
He is. I found that tweet and sent it to you guys. He is the master of pretending he wants to fight.
Yeah, he's a thespian. It is a severe act.
I finally saw Dwight Howard get mad. I was afraid. It was like, remember when Shaq almost punched Brad Miller?
Right.
And I was like,
no, don't do it.
Yeah.
I was like, if that hits him, his head is blood mist. It's like a sniper's bullet. Dwight Howard is bigger than Shaq.
He is.
He has RoboCop arms.
I always consider Dwight Howard to be like the second softest guy center in the NBA behind Roy Hibbert.
No, like, he's like Superman. He's scared that he'll kill you.
I don't. Maybe that's true.
I mean,
and I've also
with great power comes great responsibility.
I'm with you.
Keith.
And I also see Garnett. I know people always think he just acts like he wants to fight. He's clearly not totally right in the head. I think he kind of wants to fight, but I don't know. But
you
I
never
still
hear stories of him actually getting in fights at practice, and he doesn't have many ejections or anything
right.
in his career. I think he's just a, you know.
I still enjoyed it.
He's just a clown.
Anytime someone throws a ball at somebody, I love it.
Yeah.
Immediate enjoyment. And then he headbutted Dwight Howard.
I'm with interaction. Yeah. I like people getting into it. My problem is there's 50,000 people on the floor, and he's sneaking back to go fight.
Yeah,
Dwight Howard. Yeah, like, no, I gotta go. Like, let me go. No, it's all good. I can't. Yeah. No, I'm not gonna. Like, that stupidity. You're a 38-year-old man. Stop it.
Kevin, whoever hangs around Garnett, doing the hold me back dance is like a full-time job with him.
Oh, my God.
They probably practice that.
No one has made more money than you in the NBA ever.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah, and you've never even had another job.
You went to high school and then did this. What
are you so pissed off about?
You've lived a life of opulence and
guys, that is his motor.
Ugh.
That's what gets him going.
He's the worst. He's the worst.
He's a sociopath.
I just like Dwight Howard watching him get headbutted.
I hate Dwight Howard.
Highlight of the week.
Makes me angry that I have to defend him. But yes, Kevin Garnett is way worse.
Fair enough.
We're just two peas in a pod.
Fair enough.
Here,
all right. My worst of the week goes to an ex NBA player.
Uh oh.
Perhaps you remember former Seattle Sonic draft bust Robert Swift,
Big Red,
most people probably know that, you know, years ago his house was in squalor. It was like he was squatting on his house that had been foreclosed on. It wasn't pretty. So a couple months ago, he had a weapons charge brought against him when a raid in his house or where he was staying found a sawed-off shotgun. So then a few days ago, he actually got arrested for alleged armed robbery. Of breaking into someone's home. It's a dark story, but also...
remember how Vin Baker was like a functional alcoholic?
Right. Well,
I think we might have found the dysfunctional drug user of NBA lore.
I was just going to say, if you're going to be a common house thief, you can't be a 7-foot-1 ginger.
No. Those are identifying
marks. Like, people can see you from like a mile away. Cops can't even put together a lineup, I don't think, of... I don't know. He was real tall. He was tatted from head to toe. Red hair, about maybe good foot and a half taller than me.
Have you seen this man?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I don't know. So I feel bad for the guy. Also, you know, dark spot on the NBA. These guys, the safety nets just aren't there.
Yeah.
Now that I brought us down.
Well, you can only...
That was my cream of wheat worst of the week. And you guys are all just pissed at Kevin Garnett.
I think that's the coup de grace. Yeah. Well, there, you just put things into perspective.
There's so many terrible things that happened this week, too. J.R. Smith bricked so hard the camera crew had to check the equipment. So, yeah, there's so many. I love
there are some good ones.
So great.
All right, so now we have for our scattered, smothered, covered thoughts this week, we're mainly just going to talk the NBA All-Star teams will be announced in this coming week. And so we're going to talk about who we think should be on the All-Star teams. And the way we're going to do it is...
You're going to say your teams, and Chuck and I are going to ferociously correct you.
And how we're going to do it is the fan votes are pretty much set. So we know who's going to get voted in as the starters in the East and in the West. Right. So what we're going to do is pick the seven subs for each conference. And then we can also we'll also state who we think, if the starters are correct, if they should be in it, and then who we should put in instead of those.
I'll go ahead and name Kobe Bean Bryant as the starter at all five positions on my Western team.
that's good. All right, so we'll start in the Eastern Conference, where the fans are voting for two guards and three forwards or front court players. The fans have voted in John Wall, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, and Pau Gasol. Obviously, I think most people, the Carmelo inclusion is hurtful. Based on them.
Just that stupid New York thing.
Are the Canadians not flooding it with Raptor votes?
I don't know why Drake... Has Drake been told he can't tweet for the All-Star Games or something? Like, why isn't Drake putting, like,
Kyle Lowry, hashtag NBA ballot,
and then having everyone retweet it?
Yeah, that's all it would take. Maybe.
All right, so for the Eastern Conference reserves, which I think is really tough... You pick two guards and three forwards and then two wild cards, which is just, you know, in either position. I think there are there's a handful which I think are no brainers or no questions. The first is Kyle Lowry, who's going to be in the All-Star game and absolutely deserves to be there. And if we're being real, he should be starting, or he's in the argument to start ahead of Dwayne Wade. The next one who I think is a shoe-in is Jimmy Butler.
Yes,
with the Bulls.
For sure.
So
I think Wall and Butler have to be the starters in the East.
I think I
know they won't be. I know Wade will get the start.
Right.
But
so if we were picking the two best guards, I could be persuaded between one of those three of Jimmy Butler, Kyle Lowry, John Wall. I wouldn't get angry which two of those three someone decided were to go in. Jimmy Butler actually is slouching off.
Well, he started so hot. It's kind
he started of really hot, but he shot close to 50% for the first 2 months, and then in January through six games, he's shooting 38%, which we like to call Paul George.
Oh, yeah, but he's getting Thibodeau.
He's getting tibbed. Yeah,
I mean, I'd like to say here for a fact. I mean, I know we've just assumed that Dwayne Wade is being included by name recognition only, but I'd like to disagree on that. In general and specific.
I think he's the fifth best guard this year. Merits inclusion.
Top 10 PER. He's scoring more points than Jimmy Butler, better field goal percentage than Jimmy Butler. Now, if you take into effect that Jimmy Butler is a, you know, defensive player of the year, I mean, not all defensive team candidate.
Right.
Right.
Then, yeah. But Dwayne Wade's
I have no issue with Dwayne Wade being on the All-Star team.
And this is how All-Star vote balloting goes with these fan votes. A guy's not going to make it right away. And you got to earn that over a couple years and be an All-Star.
And what
I know, but what sucks is that when people talk about Hall of Fame candidacy, they bring up, he's a four-time he made the All-Star team 14 times. When a lot of them, it's, and I'm not saying this about Wade, but Carmelo Anthony doesn't deserve to be on the team.
You're right. You're 100% right.
And it's just another accolade that it kind of, it's a slippery slope, and that's why I actually think people should take this a little seriously if they give a shay.
I think current NBA writers, people with votes, should or people actually just the coaches. So right. Yeah, it is, and it's people who retweet. So it's all kind of silly.
Yeah.
It's not an all NBA team, which I think writers should really work hard at, which I'm not sure they all do. But I don't think there's any argument that Dwayne Wade should be in as a guard. Because he's still very good. But also to clarify, for this, we're basing this, the way I'm doing it when naming these people is just based, again, on this year, on this season's body work.
Of course.
There is some argument to be like, this is a one thing that maybe a casual sports fan will watch that other sports fans don't, you know, like NBA fans are going to watch regardless.
Right.
So it's not necessarily like, oh, do we want to put Paul Millsap in? Or would we rather put in Carmelo Anthony, who is a bigger star and honestly more entertaining in a general sense?
Right.
I'm not saying Atlanta Hawks fans, your beautiful basketball is not entertaining.
Budenholzer.
Anyway, so all right. So we have the five starters, and then we have Kyle Lowry and Jimmy Butler. And then I think it gets real squirrely. I would put in, so those are our two guards as backups. So then as forward, I would put in Chris Bosh.
Check.
And I would put in Paul Millsap.
I agree.
And so, and honestly, I don't think the Hawks have the best record in the league.
Yes. They deserve.
No, second best. Sorry. Second best. To the Warriors. Yeah,
yeah. So in the East. We forget the Warriors exist because they're on another plane.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So now we have to pick one more forward. And this is really.
I have three that you have not named.
Okay. This is really questionable to me. The way I look at it is we are picking one forward among the likes of Kevin Love, Greg Monroe, Nick Vucevic, Andre Drummond.
Yes.
Is there anyone else I'm missing?
I like
Al Jefferson, Pau Gasol.
Pau Gasol's a starter.
Or a starter.
Oh, he's already named starter.
Yeah, he's a starter.
Al Jefferson.
I slotted in my very last spot, Kyle Korver.
But so what you're saying is the forward?
I mean, I have him as a wild card.
Oh, no. Yeah, so I haven't gotten to the wild cards yet. And so I also have that. So so you think Drummond, I put in Nick Vucevic.
I like Vucci Man too.
But honestly, I would rather see another guard from the East get in. So my wild cards, I have Kyle Korver. And I don't have Jeff Teague.
Why do you not have Jeff Teague?
I love Jeff Teague.
I have put
Jeff Teague is more deserving than Dwayne Wade this year.
I have put in Brandon Knight, and this is the
Brandon
reason.
Knight rules.
Brandon Knight's having a very good season.
The Bucks are suddenly surging.
Actually compared them to pull up their numbers because I was trying to figure out like if you could value over replacement. Brandon Knight's is actually higher. The win shares Jeff Teague wins.
Right.
Some of this is I have in my brain, which might be incorrect, is affected by the fact I saw the Hawks play without Jeff Teague and they still were humming.
Right.
They still went played incredibly Shelvin Mack.
They sat Millsap and Shooter. Horford
exactly.
And they won, really the most important player to the functionality of the Hawks is Kyle Korver.
So that's what I think. And
he is the cog on that.
I actually tweeted at a couple Hawks bloggers to ask them if you only had one.
Did you ask them why they call it the call train?
No, I didn't.
I don't understand it.
So I asked them if you only have one Hawk, if only one Hawk can make the All-Star game, who would you think it would be?
Millsap.
And the blogger that wrote back was like, feels like Korver has been most crucial to what they do and the most consistent.
Right.
And which is, I kind of believe that. Like, I don't know if Korver. I don't know if you could plug him into another team where you could like Paul Millsap and he'd have the same impact.
Right.
But it's possible with what they're doing that he is the most impactful.
Millsap's equally impactful as well just because he's a perfect stretch four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just perfect for them and it lets Horford do. I mean, I love watching the Hawks play because the ball can go inside and then come out. And for about three quarters of the NBA, that's not how it works.
Well,
once the ball goes inside, it's not coming out.
My All-Star team has three Hawks.
I have Teague,
Horford, and
Millsap.
We should have said that I do think Al Horford. We didn't say
he's
Al
awesome.
Horford should be in the consideration. Forwards.
I just couldn't put four Hawks on.
Do it. Yeah. So all right. So to be clear on this, But we think unquestionably, we think Kyle Lowry, Jimmy Butler, Chris Bosh, Paul Millsap should make it. So that leaves us with three spots. I'm saying Vucevic, Korver, and Knight. John, you're saying Korver, Teague, Vucevic, was that right?
And this is for the forward spot, not the wild card spot.
So I'm saying that's one forward and two wild cards.
I have Jefferson, Drummond, Korver.
Okay. See, I think Drummond is obviously on a really high uptick.
Right.
He's still shooting under 50% if you look at the totality of the year.
Right.
For him to shoot under 50% and combine with like 40% free throws, that's unforgivable for me.
Right. I understand that, and I'm always in favor of punishing poor free throw shooters.
Yeah.
So I will strike him from the record, although I still think he's more deserving than Brandon Knight.
And so to be clear, also, none of us have Kyrie Irving, which I think Brandon Knight is clearly head-to-head having a much better year.
I was on the fence with Kyrie. I was. I don't know. He's 20 points a game. I mean, and he's – the team stinks. They're terrible, but he's still great – player,
and I will say he's an awesome player.
Yeah.
And the man is born to play
in the All-Star
games. Exhibition
I want to see him in games that don't matter.
He's so unstoppable in games that don't matter.
Yeah. I think, I went, I ended up with non-starters, Butler.
Yep.
Lowry.
Yep.
Millsap.
Yep.
Bosh.
Yep.
Teague.
Okay.
Horford. And Vucevic.
I think Horford is one for me that I didn't consider as strongly because I feel like his defense has been bad, and I don't think he's incredibly crucial to what they're doing. He's he's become a very good standstill shooter, and he's definitely a weapon. I'm not saying he's not a good player. He's definitely a player most every team would like to have on him. I just felt like Vucevic, while they're getting killed and their record is so terrible, I almost don't want them to have him.
Have you guys watched a lot of Magic this year? Because Vucevic is a king of empty stats.
I can't argue much with that. He doesn't draw nearly the number of fouls he should.
Right.
He's not aggressive.
Yeah.
He's not much of a rim protector.
One dunk over Gasol notwithstanding. Yes. He is not aggressive.
He's not aggressive. I think Vucevic is kind of a paper tiger.
Well, and my issue too with so if Korver's a guard, I may have him in.
Yeah.
And
I kind of wish I could put Korver as a forward or Jimmy Butler as a forward.
How are they classifying him? Is he a forward or a guard?
They have shooting Butler guard and as Korver as guards.
Yeah.
Because
Korver's a forward, he's taking Vucci main spot, and I'm putting four Hawks in. I don't care.
Well, I
love them.
I mean, if it was my pick,
if you include the coach.
If we pretend that Carmelo Anthony's not making it, and we don't have to abide by positions to the backups, I'm fine with putting in Brandon Knight, Jeff Teague, Kyle Korver, Kyrie Irving.
Right.
I think all those guys are more deserving than Nick Vucevic or even more deserving than Carmelo Anthony.
Okay.
So.
Coach?
Oh, coach just goes by this is Budenholzer's.
Budenholzer. It's by the record,
it's best record as long as you didn't coach the year before.
Yeah.
And so
it's
this
not
is,
baseball where it's the
it's all Budenholzer.
How does baseball work? You had to win the championship.
I've never heard of this sport.
I'm sorry. I like talking All-Star games. They're the only thing that matters in baseball.
I agree with everything you're saying, except I do not think Brandon Knight really belongs in this conversation.
No, I don't think so either.
For his usage rate, he actually is not playing all
so
that
let,
well.
Let me look. So the his
when you look into Brandon Knight's stats,
his O rating is lower. His defensive rating is the same.
What we didn't do, what is our starting five purely based on our favorites?
Just best. Oh, what do you mean favorites?
Yeah, like who do we think deserve to start as opposed to what the stupid fans think?
As far as the best players?
No offense to anyone who's listening.
I went Wall, Butler, Bosch, James, Millsap. I think those have been the five best players in the East.
If I'm going, I'm not counting any positions. I'm going Wall, Lowry, Butler, James, Pau Gasol.
Yeah, I feel like you could very easily, if you could go three guards, like take it back to college.
Right, right. So
then,
I would
I think Millsap falls off.
Yeah, I would put LeBron at the four and then run three guards.
Here's my issue. I put Wade over Butler only because this is Butler's contract year. I know that's not really, it doesn't really matter, but I don't know what this is. I don't want to start him in my imaginary starting five.
Homer.
This is terrible.
Homer.
Yeah.
How can you put him over Lowry?
Oh, who? Wade?
Yeah.
No way, dude. Well, I'm going the traditional 1-2.
All right, fine. All right, let's go to the West.
Yeah, then it's LeBron and Powell.
Okay.
So that's
because Powell is having an unbelievable year.
Yeah.
Powell is having an unbelievable year, but here's what keeps him out of my starting five. He has ruined their defense.
Yeah.
He and Noah cannot play at the same time, and it's all Powell's fault because he can't get out to shooters. And it really sticks out. They can't play. Like, I think when one of them doesn't play, that's when I bet the Bulls.
They're 12-9 at home, and Michael Wilbon is angry about it.
Uh-oh.
Anyway.
PTI.
All right. So moving to the Western Conference. The Western Conference, the fans have voted in Steph Curry, Kobe Bryant, Blake Griffin, Anthony Davis, Mark Gasol. Obviously, Kobe Bryant, that is a travesty. But, you know, people across the nation love watching him play basketball.
Can we go ahead and just strike it from the record? Is that something we can do?
All right. So this is really, I think the Western Conference there's going to be some snub isn't the right word because they're all so good. There's just so many. There's going to be people left out. Right. I don't think there's going to be a thing where we look at and we're outraged. It's not going to be like, oh my gosh, they put in whoever. Like, you know, you're going to be like, oh yeah, that guy. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, yeah. All right, so I have to pick two guards, three forwards, and two wild cards. So my two guards.
So easy.
I'm going, well, James Harden has to be there.
Right.
There's no question. Honestly, there's three more guards. Oh, both my wild cards are going to guards. So I can't even break them up. I'm putting in Damian Lillard. And then my two wild cards, I'll go ahead and tell you, they're going to Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook.
Okay.
And I guess the only argument could be that Russell Westbrook missed some games.
Right.
But he didn't miss enough games for me to care.
Right.
So these are your alternates, right?
So those are my wild cards. So right there, I've left off, or I'll tell you, so then my forwards, my backup forwards, I have Tim Duncan, LaMarcus Aldridge, and DeMarcus Cousins. And I would say of those people, LaMarcus Aldridge is the last man on for me.
Yeah, he didn't make mine.
So if I didn't have to do three forwards, I would have done Duncan, Cousins, and then I replace Aldridge with Klay Thompson.
I left off Thompson because I put Bogut on.
So you put Bogut on. Well, see, how many games has Bogut played? Do we have that? I feel like
he's been missing
a lot now.
A lot of games. Yeah. I think my biggest oversight is I forgot, or probably willfully forgot, Blake Griffin existed.
Yeah. And he's already been voted in, so we don't have to worry about it. So he's
Harden was Harden wasn't voted in, right?
Harden is not voted in. No. So I have making it
egregious.
I have the coaches naming Damian Lillard, James Harden, DeMarcus Cousins, Tim Duncan, LaMarcus Aldridge, Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook.
The only thing I disagree on is I don't think you have enough Warriors, baby.
I only have one Warrior. But
you,
I mean,
you need Draymond Green.
Draymond Green over Andrew Bogut.
Yeah. I feel like Griffin deserves Bogut's spot that I screwed up.
Yeah.
Draymond Green, I would put in over Andrew Bogut. And I probably, honestly, should put Thompson probably merit.
It's really strange, but I feel like the way I look at,
I'm amending mine.
I
right
think
now.
It's possible. I'm good. Actually, Chuck, go ahead and say what do you have.
So mine, okay, so basically I'm going by, this is my starting five.
Okay.
Forget the stupid votes. I hate the stupid vote.
Okay.
Okay, so this is my starting five. Curry, Harden, Brow,
yep.
Gasol,
yep.
Aldridge.
Okay.
Aldridge over Boogie Cousins.
I like,
I think Blake's better than Aldridge, even though Blake's having a bad year.
I don't even have Aldridge on the team.
He was my last one on.
Yep. I think Nowitzki.
I think the reason you and I probably don't like him is he's not very efficient.
No.
He just shoots a lot of jumpers. He's a very good player. He helps them make their team. But honestly, that team wins games because Damian Lillard goes bonkers.
I love him. I think he's great. And I don't know. His usage rate's really high.
Aldridge makes in the East easy.
He's their guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
We've already been upset about who's getting in the East.
Yeah.
I like him over Cousins. Even though Cousins, Boogie's got a higher PR, but I don't know. I'm going to say his game better.
Are the coaches going to put in DeMarcus Cousins?
I don't think so.
I don't think they are.
I don't think so.
Because of their record.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, right now we have no, I had no Klay Thompson. You had Klay Thompson. Yeah.
No, I actually didn't have
Klay. Oh, so neither one of us had Klay Thompson.
No.
None of my starting.
And
five.
Then also Dwight Howard's not on there.
No.
Dirk Nowitzki, who again.
I have Dirk Nowitzki.
I don't think he has the stats this season.
He does not have the stats.
But he's one of those guys where he's Dirk. He's just the best.
He's actually having one of his best years as a facilitator. But the stats aren't there. There's a crazy stat floating around where when Dirk passes out of double teams.
Oh, they're shooting like 48% threes.
Yeah, shooting like 48% for threes.
Yeah.
It's just, I saw that. It's madness.
Yeah, that's wild.
So he's just having a great year. I mean, it was strange that the West was somehow easier to form because at least there were decisions to be made. Whereas the East, I was really struggling to find the players. Like Andre Drummond made my team.
Yeah, I'm telling you that six forwards in the East is hard, and it doesn't feel right. Chuck, did you finish with your bench? I didn't want to cut you
benches.
Off.
My bench would be Griffin, Durant, Clay.
So you have Durant, and he's only going to play like 20 games.
I have Durant.
He's MVP. He's MVP. I think Russ Westbrook's got to get on there when you've got a 29.5 PER. I don't think there's you can't not have him on there.
He's having his best year.
I snub Chris Paul.
Wow.
I don't know.
That's just mean.
I just don't.
Although, did you guys see what he did to Wesley Matthews last night?
Yeah.
On Wednesday night, he did a thing which the NBA rules need to be rewritten to change whatever Chris Paul did into being an offensive foul.
Yeah.
Because it was, I think he punctured Wesley Matthews' lung or something, but he just launched himself into Wesley Matthews, and the ref's like, oh yeah, foul Wesley Matthews. And it was egregious, like in the moment, like live action, you're like, oh, that doesn't seem like a foul. And then in slow motion, you're like, good Lord, that looks like an assault.
Yeah.
You know, but like, apparently that's a good move.
Yeah.
I didn't think Wesley Matthews had a legal guarding position or something.
Oh, make no mistake. Chris Paul is a repugnant human being and will punch you straight in the balls and has done so before, dating back to his college days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the guy's still seventh in PER and still probably the best pure point guard
in the
league.
Having a monstrous season.
And he's shooting 40% from three. That's ridiculous.
I mean, his shooting percentage is very good. His 2-point percentage is very good.
Mm-hmm.
He's just an awesome player that I hate.
Yeah.
But I didn't make him a starter. So there, in your face. I got Curry, Harden, Boogie, Davis, Gasol.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty – and if you look at the PER ratings this year, with the exception of Gasol, that's like the top five PER.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's not – it. The West starters should be easy. There's just this Kobe Bryant wrinkle.
It's true. And it's also – I just think it's weird, though. You have guys like poor Mike Conley.
Oh yeah. I couldn't even consider him.
So Mike Conley, I think would be in well over like, you know, we're talking like if Vucevic or even some people talked about Kemba Walker. I got angry.
Yeah.
I saw some ESPN. I saw some NBA analyst writing about who they had in the All-Star game and they put in Kemba Walker and that blew my mind.
Conley and Jeff Teague are kind of like two sides of
the same
coin for the East and the West, but yeah, I mean, Conley's not...
He's not sniffing.
He's not sniffing the West.
Yeah, just because, I mean, if Klay Thompson's not getting in or if it's Russell Westbrook or whoever that seventh guard who's not getting in.
One thing I find interesting is, Chuck, you didn't name Damian Lillard.
Oh, no, I did. I'm sorry. I left him out. Yeah, Dame Lillard.
I think Dame Lillard is
my one spot. If I had to swap Kobe out knowing that he has to be on the team would be Dirk. Knowing...
Yeah, Dirk, of
I'm
my guys...
I'm doing it because I like him.
I think even Draymond Green has a better... claim to the All-Star team than Dirk does.
Absolutely. Duncan on the team.
Absolutely.
You put Duncan on
the
team.
He's the only guy in the NBA averaging like 15, 10, and 2 blocks.
Tim Duncan was my very last cut.
Okay. Yeah, I think Duncan...
and Dirk. I was only going to put one old guy on there.
I think Duncan's had an incredible year.
No, I think you're right, but I just...
He's just boring.
It's just not, yeah, I mean, it's not... He's not...
The Spurs just aren't as impressive to me this year, and I guess a lot of about Kawhi Leonard's importance to that team.
Best players gone.
Because they're just not... They're not at that level
that
they were.
Well, I was going to say, it could be their 16 losses.
I had
They're 24-16, and it's no longer... It no longer looks like they're playing with their food.
I had
It looks like they're like, oh, they're not winning.
Yeah. I had a very eye-opening realization about Leonard's value to the Spurs when he was demolishing the Miami Heat in the finals. So, yeah.
I'm surprised Danny Green didn't make your All-Star team then.
Close to it.
Yeah.
Rudy Gobert. I think Derek Favors makes it in the East.
If he was in there, Derek Favors is having a really good year.
Really good year.
Derek Favors is like watching a bull in a china shop.
Yeah.
Yep.
When he gets the basketball, I'm scared he's going to pop it. He is all elbows and knees and nightmare man.
So it'll be interesting. So we'll find these out, I guess, on maybe next Thursday or is it Tuesday? I can't remember.
Don't know. Don't really care.
It'll happen. If you follow the NBA, you'll hear them.
So
they'll announce them the next
All-Star Weekend's in New York this year?
Yeah. It's going back and forth, I believe, between Madison Square Garden and
LA from
Brooklyn.
Now on?
Oh, yeah, that'd Brooklyn? Be amazing. Oh, yeah. No, the weekend is all up
over in New York. Yeah.
Hashtag NBA ballot Joseph Nurkic is the last thing I have to say on the subject.
That is,
guys. There's one glaring omission.
Oh no!
Who do we forget?
Hassan Whiteside, everybody. I just want to say that I had a cold call on that before any of America picked up on him, short of maybe a radio show in Miami or two.
I will say us devoting our entire last podcast to Hassan Whiteside.
Prescient.
And again, we record these on Thursdays before the Thursday night games are played.
Right.
His last however many games... Spectacular. That might have been the best thing we've done so far. Yeah. Is call him out before his explosion, before his rise to national awareness.
Some might call me a clairvoyant.
It's very good. And also, he's now gone so far to calling people out.
He's hilarious.
They're playing the Kings, the Heat Kings.
Yeah.
And he called out the Kings coaching staff for cutting him. And he said those guys those coaches who cut me, well, they're not there anymore.
Well, if we could figure out a way to play his post-Clippers interview in here, it would be great. But he basically demolished Doc Rivers, basically saying,
"Yeah,
this is what I do, son. And you can't, you poo-pooed on me, and I'm going to just dunk all over your face and shut down DeAndre Jordan and have 26 and 16.
Well, maybe Hassan Whiteside can be like one of the mascots this year.
Oh, he's going to be my mascot.
Hopefully, maybe he can hold the ball for somebody on a dunk attempt.
Yeah.
Beautiful. But anyway, no, I wanted to finish the thought. I was saying that he called out the Kings coaching staff for cutting him.
Yeah.
The coach of the Kings, who cut him? Keith Smart.
Oh.
Assistant coach for the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
Hassan Whiteside's team.
Yeah.
So that's pretty hilarious.
Apparently, the reason why he was not drafted high was because a coach asked him, "So what are you working on your game? What part of your game is the biggest problem?" And he goes, "Nothing." And then the coach asks him again. He's like, "No, for real." And he's like, "Oh, you're perfect." He's like, "Pretty much." And that's who he was at 22 when he graduated from college.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So he was a knucklehead, and I love him, and he may be the greatest NBA player of all time.
The Marshall Thundering Herd have put out two classic athletes already with Randy Moss and Hassan Whiteside.
Right, right. And then he was being scouted at Marshall, and the coach came out and was like, "Hey, who are you to see?" And the scout was like, "Oh, Whiteside." He's like, "For the NBA?" This is exactly, this happened.
Son, no, for the Marshall Thundering Herd.
That's great. That's at the great Whiteside.
Yeah, young Whiteside.
Young Whiteside, I'm sorry.
Young, shout out.
I see what you're trying to do there, yep. Keith.
Sorry. So now I think that kind of wraps up our All-Star talk. We'll see where we were right. We'll see a lot of people's opinions. And then once they're announced, we will make fun of them and tell them where they were exactly wrong.
Mm-hmm. Kemba Walker.
Kemba Walker, the 20th best point guard on the 20th best team.
Ugh.
Although he's been putting up numbers.
Master of the counting stats.
Recently. All right, so now for the awards portion of our program. This is the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award. It goes to the worst performance in a box score. We got a couple of nominees. Honorable mention, I wasn't even sure which Nick Young game to include this week.
I'll just do the swaggiest.
However, turned it out, I didn't even use one. So, Nick Young, you're off the hook.
It was quite a week in basketball.
Our three nominees. One, a Twitter follower suggested this one, and there was a good eye. Monte Ellis on Wednesday night.
Disgusting.
1 for 11.
Whew. Monte.
1 for 11 for 5 points with 3 turnovers and 4 defensive rebounds. That's not having a positive impact on a basketball game. Our second nominee, who almost slightly made his game okay by hitting a late game-tying 3 before losing, is Kobe Bean Bryant, who is 3 for 19. That's 16 missed shots for those of you bad at math.
Whew.
3 for 19 for 12 points and a loss to the Heat. What was that, Chuck? Like 76 to 73? It was in the 70s.
No, it was 78-75, and it made my stomach turn nonstop.
I mean, no, Bosch had a bad game, too. There was a lot of...
Yeah, it was just bad basketball.
And Nick Young had a terrible game that game. Boozer might have been 1 for 8 that game.
Yep.
Hmm. Boozing it.
So, Kobe Bryant...
How many times did Kobe make the Black Mamba hissing sound, though?
I Chuck, I'll defer to you. I refuse to watch this game.
Y'all know he does that, right?
Yeah.
He makes the hissing sound
when
on the court.
When he juts his...
That lower jaw.
The lower jaw. The...
Mamba.
Yeah.
All right. And then our third nominee. So we have Monta Ellis, 1 for 11. Kobe Bryant, 3 for 19. And then Markieff Morris, a new nominee.
Yeah, 35 points
who
the other night.
He must have
snuck in a terrible one.
Feast and famine.
Looking.
Yeah. So in victory, 1 for 13. For 3 points.
Yeah.
Eight boards. 1 for 13 is pretty bad.
Eight boards, though.
Yeah.
Eight boards. I mean, Kobe did some things. He only had 2 turnovers.
Twins are really creepy, so I'm leaning Markieff away. The eight boards kind of sweet. I'm voting Kobe.
I feel Kobe's been a multi-time nominee.
What are we doing? What are we doing here?
What?
Kobe's never won one?
No. Yeah, he's never won.
That's not.
No! I'm sorry. He won week three.
Yeah.
I apologize.
It's like it's impossible that we're almost at the All Star game, and he didn't have the worst shooting.
He won. He won week three with a 1 for 14.
I think in honor of him making the All Star team, he really deserves it this week too.
I think we give it to him.
Yeah.
And also, so Kobe Bean Bryant, you are the winner, a 2-time winner. Now Michael Carter Williams and Kobe Bean are our only 2-time winners.
Sounds about right.
We did have something. I actually wanted to put this could have been my worst of the week. We had an impressive box score, which we won't see the like of, Landry Fields.
Oh, yes.
Landry Fields pulled off a feat. I don't know, again, if we'll see it. If you're familiar with Club Trillion, Mark Titus, who now works for Grantland, sort of thing, you know, you play 1 minute of basketball, like you're scrub, you come in, and you do nothing. So you play 1 minute, and you have zeros across the board. That's a trillion.
Yes.
As a starter, Landry Fields almost pulled off Club 10 Trillion.
Outstanding.
He blew it with one personal foul. He started.
Selfish bastard.
He started.
Stat hog.
He played 10 minutes.
Chasing stats.
No shot attempts.
Chasing personal fouls.
No free throw attempts. No rebounds. No assists. No steals. No blocks. No turnovers. One foul. Minus 21. Plus minus. So he had a 10 trillion and one.
How come he wasn't in the Stackhouse of Pancakes?
I didn't know how.
That seems like a shoe.
The judges didn't know how to score a 0 for 0.
Yeah, it was like a Scantron that didn't fill in all the bubbles.
Like you did it. You punched both Chads? I don't know what the...
was this like...
He didn't miss any shots.
Was this like when the two coaches get together and decide to let the disabled kid play?
This was a classic...
You know, he never got to start. And let's just let him play the whole damn game.
John, for you and me, this was a classic James Johnson game for the Raptors.
Oh, yes.
Where James Johnson had a plus 13 and his team lost by 13.
Sounds about right.
And you're like, oh, well, why did he only play 20 minutes? Anyway. All right. So that wraps up the award portion. All right. We've gone a little long, so we talked about All-Star breaks. Par fadeaway. Things to look forward to. What do we got coming up this week?
Tonight, baby. It's the big one. It's Oklahoma and Houston. To me, it's a big one because I think we may see another fight.
Oh, we could.
Those guys always fight.
Perk and Howard?
Perk and Howard might get down.
That's true. This will go up on Friday morning, so we hope there was a grand fight.
What I'm also hoping is that Dwight Howard punches Steven Adams in the face, but since he's made completely out of granite, it does nothing. And normally it would turn him into a blood mist. Like John said, but I think Steven Adams
is a destroyer of worlds. That guy's amazing.
A brick man. So yeah, I hate him and adore him.
Yes. I am in love hate with him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, love hate.
But that's what I'm looking forward to.
I'm looking forward to just the cavalcade of trades. They just keep coming.
Yeah.
Like they keep coming. I mean, this here's the thing to look forward to. Here's my par fadeaway. Will Tayshaun Prince be a Clipper? When we next...
Absolutely. Do you know why?
As of today, they...
Because he's old.
Spot.
Doc Rivers only gets it. Old players. He's just... He's picking up his son. Yeah, he's picking up Nate Robinson.
That's
my par fadeaway. Let's watch Doc Rivers slowly ruin the Clippers.
Yeah. I love it. As Steve Ballmer vigorously dances on the sideline.
And do you think Doc Rivers' wife is like, you got to sign our son. There's no way... Or no, they traded for him.
That's
ridiculous. You're sleeping on the couch if you don't sign off.
I mean, CDR is gone. We might have seen our last run of the CDR in the NBA.
Man, they are outdated.
Yeah,
my car won't even play this.
Exactly. I think your car stereo finally just swallowed it. We're never getting CDR back. That was the final rotation.
Just said, cannot read.
Yeah,
disc
Jordan Farmar is getting waived. So the Clippers have opened up two roster spots.
Jordan Farmar is better than the players they're adding.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's better than Nate Robinson. For sure. He's much better than Austin Rivers.
But at least Austin Rivers is 6 years his junior. Ugh. So you can argue that. All right, so...
But Nate Robinson is a million years old.
It's so true. None of us in here like
the Clippers.
He doesn't
age. He's like Kevin Hart, though.
We kind of enjoy it.
Yes, Kevin Hart. He's the wedding ringer.
He's been the same age for 15 years.
Yeah.
You know.
Good friends with Judd Apatow.
Who's on Undeclared.
Yeah, that's right. All deep, right. Deep Kevin Hart
deep
cuts.
Deep, deep.
All right, so thanks for listening. John and I are going to come back after the tiny break to talk about the Jeff Green trade and the Grizzlies week and the Grizzlies epilogue.
Oh, yeah.
For the rest of you guys, have a good one. And remember,
breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
Je suis Charlie.
All right, welcome to the Grizzlies epilogue. John and I are still here. Chuck took off because he doesn't want to see how happy we are.
He can't stand our joy. He's a sin eater.
John and I were both in favor of the Jeff Green trade beforehand, and then when the details were announced, I think we were both pretty happy with it.
We excised two warts and then put a ring on that finger.
I as Tayshaun's biggest fan, I don't like considering that, but it's an upgrade. I'm a big fan of it. So a lot of it's already been broken down by a lot of people that Jeff Green is not that good. Like, he's not that good of a player. He is not a good shooter.
He did almost pop off with the much mentioned 4-for-11 line that we talked about.
Right, right.
He went
3-for-11.
Before we get into this, can I just say, to paraphrase Shaq, damn, Lionel, tell me how my ass tastes.
Yeah. Yeah, the Grizzlies took it too. Tony Allen, especially. Joe Johnson could not find him. No. Tony Allen was just posted up under the goal in this Nets game. No, but so the Jeff Green thing, I was hoping that they would keep him. And I don't know if this is how the rules are going to change or if they're going to stay the same. I was hoping that Jaeger would use him as a bench player. I thought right. Our lineup is good. So this trade was not, this trade was pretty much to shore up this what's a weak bench, because currently the starters are excellent.
Yes.
The starters, based on Mike Conley's and Mark Gasol's improvement this year, both becoming all-star level players, although poor Mike will never make the all-star game.
No.
So then they needed just another legitimate NBA wing with size and versatility, and they got that. And they got an easygoing guy who everyone likes, who's ever been around him, apparently like a, you know, the total professional, just good guy, good locker room guy, who has these skills, who should be able to fit in. So that's, I think, why both of us really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I mean, DJ Jazzy Jeff knows how to play the game. Our spacing was so good, and it really opened up the bigs.
Yeah.
And actually, I couldn't believe the amount of space Courtney Lee was getting when they both played. And I mean, now you can really use Tony Allen as this Tasmanian devil again.
And again, we don't want to take too much from one game because they were playing six in a row.
I kind of do.
Yeah, well, I watched the game twice, you know, like straight through.
The Nets are in free fall, but I mean, it was a dominant performance, and most of our guys weren't even shooting that well.
They weren't. Like Jeff Green, I think the idea is like he can score off the dribble, and I came up with a theory watching the game last night when he was going 3-for-11 that. And I actually tried to find this metric, and I couldn't find it. I don't know if I have to pay like stats.com to get this information. I wanted to know if what percentage of Tayshaun Prince's shots misses were rebounded by the Grizzlies. Like, this is my train of thought was watching Jeff Green's missed jumpers, that they all were nice-looking shots that bounced high off the soft and high off the rim, and they were offensive rebounded by Tony Allen, Zebo. And I was thinking, like, I wonder if just trading Tayshaun's shots for a shooter who has arch on his shot or like a nice arc where the rebounders can then get those misses. And I was like, is that a next level Hollinger thing? Like,
One thing that happened that was funny to me is we were watching at a bar and I was cheering Jeff Green misses just because they were from the corner three.
Yeah, and they were just the right shots.
He missed them all, but even when they didn't go in, I was like, yeah.
So it's just having a guy who's a scoring threat, like, and it doesn't matter that he's a bad mid-range shooter. He's a bad mid-range shooter. He's a bad three-point shooter. He's okay from the corners. But just having a guy who is versatile and whose shots come pretty much equally from all over the place means the defense has to scramble to him and cover him. And hopefully it just everything will flow off that. And
even in his first game where you could forgive a team for thinking he wouldn't have a big impact, they paid a lot of attention to him on the court.
It's
and
true.
I thought that was huge after, you know, years of Coupon and Tayshaun, you know, being non-entities. It was just, you know, it's to have four really good players on the court at the same time. There's, you know, there's not a lot of teams that can do that, you know, and have a bench that has some players worth playing, and the Grizzlies just became that.
And so one of my friends tweeted at me like something about like John Lohr played 4 minutes, Quincy Pondex was not on the team, you know, Jeff Green trade win. And I'm like, absolutely. You nailed it. These are the things we've excised negative players from the rotation.
I thought Lohr wasn't going to get any time and I was ecstatic.
Yeah.
I really thought, I was like, I haven't seen him. Where is he?
Yeah, he didn't play the second half.
Is it over?
He just played the first half.
Yeah.
And, it's exciting when you've narrowed your rotation just to guys you get excited when they come in.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing I've talked about for several weeks. You want a guy to come into the game when you're like, oh, good, now we get to watch this guy play. And the Grizzlies haven't had that at all.
Quick call back to the first part of the show.
Yeah.
John Lohr joined Club Trillion.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
Did he have a 4 trillion? What did he do?
Yeah, 4 trillion.
He had a 4 minutes and nothing.
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 Zilch. Didn't even get one of his classic fouls in.
Oh, that's surprising. He couldn't find a foul in 4 minutes. So the next funny question. So actually, let's turn back the clock.
Well, I don't know if I'm ready to talk about the OT game yet.
Well, the New Orleans game.
Awful.
Was awful. And a lot of that is you think... Well, there's several things. One, the Pelicans are a good team, and they're playing a Friday night game on the road. Those are tough games, but also the Grizzlies were it came out weird. It was funny. Tayshaun Prince, ever the consummate professional, in what he knew was his last game with the Grizzlies, came out and took a giant dump.
2 for 7.
He was 0 for 5 before hitting his last 2 threes out of the blue, but he was horrible.
Minus 10.
Maybe it was the gentleman in him doing that thing where he's punching. It's like Harry and the Hendersons, and he's punching Harry in the face. He's like, go! You don't go! You got to, you know, he's trying to make that breakup easier.
You're referring to John Lithgow punching a Sasquatch.
Yeah, exactly.
Just in case anyone at home
wants
to know what that meant.
That was Tayshaun Prince making the parting easier on us by being awful in that game. And so they lost that game. Then it was the Suns game, which was a crazy game, where the Grizzlies looked great. You know, you could tell they were energized because they knew what was going on, and it's a big game because it's a Western Conference rival.
Very poor officiating in that game, particularly at the end.
We have to say it was poor on both sides.
Yes,
the Bledsoe call was hilariously. I haven't heard the NBA announce that that was clearly one of the biggest blown calls I've ever seen.
Amateur hour.
And then the Grizzlies were not awarded free throws in overtime on the penalty.
Yeah.
So if the Suns would have won that game, that would have been a one appeal because that was an improper application of the rules. And there would have been a replay at some point, which was always interesting. But so that was a wild game. That was a Zeebo just played out of his brain. It was sad because it was one of those games where the Grizzlies were killing and then they just let it slip away.
Oh, yeah, that game shouldn't have gone to overtime at all, let alone two of them.
Yeah, it actually was reminiscent of the Thunder series last year where there were just crazy turnovers, like Mike Conley threw the ball away for no reason at the end of the game.
There was some straight-up YMCA basketball going down.
It really was. And then in overtime, it was almost like Bennett Salvatore knew that they'd screwed up.
Yeah.
And he would just called everything on the Suns. And it was, but then they still blew the timeout. It was the whole thing was weird. I think all those referees got some very negative marks from the league on that game.
I'll say this, I have been down on Vince Carter all year. The Suns game may have been the last straw for me.
The Suns game?
Yes.
What about the Nets game where he seemed to welcome his new teammate by again walking, it's as if he walked on the court like pantless. And just like screw it. I don't like he literally came in the game and within 3 seconds took a covered 25 footer. And you're like, what in the world are you doing? Like airballed, like just slammed into the glass.
Yeah, but at least like in the Nets game, like he had like a couple steals, and I noticed him on defense a couple times, even though he missed every shot again. But in this game, he was just there was no point to his existence.
Are there Grizzlies fans? So now that we don't need Vince Carter to play the three anymore,
we don't need him to play.
Yeah. So are there Grizzlies fans out there who would rather see Vince Carter play, or would they rather like give those two guard minutes to Jordan Adams or Nick Kalathis?
I think we're starting to see that. I mean, Jordan Adams played last night.
He did?
Yeah, like 2 minutes.
Oh, no, that was just garbage. No, but Kalathis has gotten the weird, like, second-half closer role.
I'm so confused by the addition of Russ Smith that I don't know what's going on.
Oh, I guess we could talk about that. I don't watch college.
I don't feel equipped to talk about it because I don't understand.
I'll just say something negative about it.
Yeah.
I don't know why we get a fourth point guard, and I don't like the idea of getting a project who's 23.
Right. He was a...
I always say, Tony Roten is 21.
He was a... please stop. No more Tony Roten.
Tony Roten's 21. How is he not a better prospect as a 6'4 left-handed point guard?
Because he's mindless.
But apparently this guy, all I know about this guy is his name is Russ Diculous. This guy's apparently mindless.
Yes. Well, Russ Smith was a very good college player, but he was exactly the type of college player you went like, that guy's not playing in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
That was who he was.
So, I mean, I don't know if it was a, was it a caveat of the trade? Like, was New Orleans demanding... We want to move Russ Smith. Because getting Quincy off the books was a big thing, a big victory.
I don't think so, because I know we were interested in him in the draft.
So I think
they actually wanted him. Maybe just as a little throw in.
That's intriguing to me.
I mean, you never know when, you know, Nick Kalathis is going to fall off the Rogaine wagon, you know? He might really need that minoxidil.
It's true. You didn't know he gets randomly tapped for another number drug test.
You never know.
Yeah, so I don't understand getting the Russ Smith, because thinking on the line, it's like Bano's super old, and I guess they don't think they can't re-sign Kalathis. Kalathis has European money waiting for him.
Right.
So maybe they're like, let's just get, you know, we're not going to keep him. So maybe Russ Smith is an idea for the backup for next year.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. For giving away assets, or not giving away, but just unloading assets, the Grizzlies now owe 3 second-round picks in addition to their 2 first-round picks.
Love it. Second-round picks are hysterical. We're not good at them anyways.
Yep, Jarnell Stokes. Slam.
Give it time.
It's an exciting time for the Grizzlies. I think the optimism is back a little. And a lot of it is just player health. Conley's ankles are a little gimpy again.
Yeah,
and
those are going to be a thing really all year. Having trouble covering still.
Yeah, and his defense is, as we've talked about, I mean, a lot.
The game where Drew Holiday torches him, that doesn't happen last year.
Yeah.
So something's up. He's not... And since you've pointed out him going under those screens, I always notice it every time, and it drives me insane. So damn you.
But I'm just watching. I think we're just having the joy of watching guys like Tony Allen, who just knows how to play basketball.
Tony Allen had an incredible week.
Oh, I will say, before we wrap up, I do have to say the thing that has started me punching myself in the face even more watching Grizzlies games out of anger is, and this happened in the Suns game, the offense for defense substitution of taking Tony Allen out and putting Vince Carter in is making me almost harm people.
Do you want someone that is going to cut to the basket, Marc Gasol is going to hit him with a no-look pass and get a dunk, or do you want to watch Vince brick something?
Yeah, so, and this goes back to Lionel days, where he would sub in O.J. Mayo for offense defense and take Tony Allen out. Everyone, like, look at if you know
it pisses Tony off.
Yeah, if you're... I mean, I assume most guys who watch every Grizzlies game, and the coaching staff included, can see that, yes, defenses don't necessarily, quote, respect Tony Allen, but because of that, he gets open underneath the goal all the time.
Yeah.
He's always cutting to the basket.
He and Mark have a real rapport.
And him and Tony is always looking to set up Zach, so he will drive at the bucket hard, and then when they collapse, he's always looking to dish it off. Like, the Grizzlies' offensive rating has always been higher when he's on the floor. Like, every time it was between him and O.J., the Grizzlies always had a better offensive rating with Tony Allen on the court.
It's reminiscent of when we used to start Tayshaun over Tony.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what are they seeing?
You have
that
to put this guy in. And it was just crazy watching. Vince Carter coming in for offensive plays when he's been all. I mean, again, I know he's hit clutch shots this season for the Grizzlies. There's a couple of games he's just come through.
I don't care.
It's just like Tony Allen
not worth it.
Is playing great.
Right.
And that doesn't even count the fact that he keeps the ball alive on offensive rebounds. He rebounds great for a guard. And then there's the weird things where the ball's on the ground. He doesn't get credit for it. Where he just rips it out and knocks it away, and then someone else grabs it.
Tony Tidbit, he is the only player on the Grizzlies who, at the end of the game, I'm like, I hope they foul Tony because he will make both of these.
Yeah, you have more confidence than I do. But
But even my favorite players, like Gasol and Conley, they always miss one.
They shoot like 83%, but somehow they always find a way to miss the one that matters. Always get one out of two when it matters.
I always want Tony or Zach to get fouled.
And Zach will always do an 0-for-2
yes, at some point in the
every
game.
Couple games. Every couple games he'll have a fourth quarter 0-for-2 where you really don't think you can handle it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the infuriating thing about being a Grizz fan is there are those moments in the end of games where you're like, they are this up. But that Nets game was great. One of the best Gasol games I've seen, especially from an artistic standpoint.
The behind the head pass.
Behind the head, squeeze the ball with your hand pass, and then just posterizing people.
It's good.
Mozgov and a couple fools.
All right, we're just getting carried away.
Yeah, that'll do it.
We're in a good mood. They play the Magic, the suddenly hot Magic this week, and then they play the Trailblazers and the Mavs back to back. So
Vucci Main's about to get taken down.
It's gonna be a big week, and we'll see what they keep doing. And I hope Tayshaun doesn't end up on the Clippers, but he probably will.
Well, and that will be horrible.
It'll actually be good for the
good for the Grizzlies.
It'll be good for the Grizzlies, but I still will feel sad.
They'll have two Matt Barnes instead of one.
Exactly. All right, you guys. So thanks for listening.
Tweet at us at Fast Break
Break.
Fast Break Break.
Yeah, yeah. Pardon me. Remember those characters. At Fast Break Break. You guys have a good one.
Arrive safely.